Good to be here with you tonight. What I felt the Lord lay on my heart is the thought of fruitfulness. And are we being fruitful? And not in the sense of really us saying, okay, well, where's my pile of fruit? Here's my gold, here's my silver, here's my fruit. And us saying, yep, check up a list saying, yes, I am fruitful. But really seeking the Lord in that relationship, being faithful, knowing that we're on the right path. If we're on the right path, we should be seeing fruit. Pastor Karen brings out the sign of really entering into God's glory is when others see fruitfulness in you. It's pretty easy for me to say I'm fruitful. I set the bar and then I can easily jump over it. But when we're held to that standard, which is of course God's, but others are seeing that fruit in us. We don't go and ask them, but that thought of, are we being fruitful? And it's something we can take in our prayer life to the Lord and have Him speak to us. 3 points that I'd kind of like to go over as a way of an outline is, one is, what are you called to? Second is, what kind of fruit are we producing? Is it eternal fruit? Is it temporal fruit? Or is it wrong fruit? And thirdly, what kind of influence are we having for the kingdom of God? What are we called to? What kind of fruit are we producing, and are we being an influence to the kingdom of God? What are you called to? Are we doing what God has called us to do? Whether we're a young child, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are. I can look at the younger. I won't look at the older. But are we doing what we were called to do? What God designed us for? Has He given you a pulpit? Has He given you a secular job? A mother? Wealthy? A musician? An author? Gift of hospitality? There's really an endless amount. We're a body and there's endless tasks in the body. Different functions that we all do. And God's designed the body perfectly, and each part helps the other. So we can't all do the same thing. Someone made the comment, well, if your ear was your foot, it would be a little awkward. We can't all do that, but we try to at times, don't we? We try to perhaps be something that God hasn't called us to be. I was listening to, this has really been inspired to me by that thought of driven by eternity, looking at my end and then going backwards and saying, what am I doing to really be fruitful? Not in my own works, but in what God has designed me to do, to be the best that He has designed me to be, not for my own name, but influencing for His kingdom. In the book, they give an example. There was several businessmen who got together, and over the period of 10 years, they gave $120 million out of their business to missions. They never stood in the pulpit, I don't believe, but they gave $120 million to further the kingdom that they could have put in their own pocket. I feel probably the Lord rewarded them because of what they were doing. One gentleman said, I'm going to, Lord, live on 10% of my income and give 90% to You. He was well-to-do, but he lived on 10% of his income. What has God called you to do? John Bevere is the author of Driven by Eternity, and at one point in his book, he was riding with a friend, and his friend was extremely wealthy. And he goes, you know what, why am I working anymore? He goes, I have got so much money, I have done so much for the job, I have everything I need, there's really no reason for me to continue working. So John Bevere, he's a minister, so he's thinking, and he pauses for a minute, and then he finally says, you know what, you're right. He goes, I have written so many books, I've spoken so many times and reached so many people. Really, I've done enough for God. And the man says to him, I'd hate to be you when you stand before the Lord. And again he paused and he goes, I'd hate to be you when you stand before the Lord. He goes, friend, God gave me the ability to write books and a pulpit to speak from. He said, He gave you the ability to make money, to further His kingdom. The man went home and worked his butt off because he caught a glimpse of what God had designed him to do. He wasn't designed to be in the pulpit, and sometimes I think we miss the major things that we call minor things in the Word of God. in the life that we live. He makes a point, he goes, I think we'll be very surprised when we get to heaven to see mothers and blue-collar workers sitting on the thrones, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Not just the apostles, but those who have fulfilled the purpose that they have been called to fulfill. What has God called you to? The question God will ask us is not, what did you do for me? But did you do what I asked you to do? And there's a world of difference. And as I was writing that down, I thought, you know, what if my kids get a little older and I ask them, clean your room? And I come home and they said, I washed the car, I cut the grass. I'm like, did you clean your room? Nope. Would I be happy? Would you be happy? Whatever tasks you find relevant, if you ask someone to do something, could you please copy this in the office? And they write a book for you. Well, I didn't ask you to write a book. Is the Lord any different? Lord, I did this in your name, but that's not what he asked us to do. Are we being fruitful in what God has called us to do? 1 Samuel 15:22. God does not delight in burnt offering, but in obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Are we fulfilling, not trying to attain to something that the world has designed and calls successful, or even in ministry what perhaps might appear successful, but are we being successful? And our fruit is not really in that aspect our own to measure, but in our obedience and things of that nature that God has called us to do. He gives an example in the book of someone standing before the judgment seat and saying, Engineer Jason, please come forward. And they say, well, don't you mean Pastor Jason? I started this church, I have this ministry. And he goes, no, I called you to be an engineer. I called you to have a home group and influence people in the workplace, not to be in the, but that's where you would have been more effective, and that's what I had designed you to. So the church, great, it's not what God called him to, though. And we find that maybe counterintuitive or contradictory, but he was winning souls for God, but it's not what God called him to. Pastor Bailey gave an example one time of an evangelist. And Pastor Bailey was talking to this evangelist, and as he started talking to him, he saw a spirit behind him. And that spirit empowered that evangelist. And it wasn't the Lord. It wasn't a heavenly spirit. It was an evil spirit. That man took that gift on his own, developed his own ministry. God's called us each to something, and we may be very well functioning in that. But when I heard this message, it really made me start thinking, am I in the right place? Or am I just assuming because my leadership said so? Yes, there's safety in the multitude of counselors, of course, but have we heard from God? Pastor Bailey was one that was very much of the thought of, you hear from the Lord and it can be confirmed, but you hear from the Lord. He did the same thing. Jesse just used it when he spoke. And when I went to Africa, he said, have you heard from the Lord yet? Because you're going to face hard times. And you can't come back and say, well, you made me go and do it. You have to be willing to say, I decided that I heard from the Lord and I entered into that. We want to fulfill what we are called to. Amen? What fruit are we producing? What fruit are we producing? I was really, as I already said, stirred with this as I was just considering driving, and it's like, Lord, am I in the right place? Am I doing what you designed me to do? Whether in part or in whole, am I in the wrong spot, or am I being most efficient and effective in the place that he has me? We said that there's three different categories we're looking at here: eternal fruit, temporal fruit, and wrong fruit. If we look at first temporal fruit, in Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build labor in vain. A house was built. Labor was done. If it was the Lord, wonderful, we have a house designed by God. But if it was not the Lord that ordained that, a house was built, not designed by him. We can do our own thing. We can do something in vain and be very fruitful at it. But is it eternal fruit? If we're rewarded here for what we've done, fine, we've received our reward. But what are we sending to heaven? We're building a house in heaven from what we're told by what we do. It's sending up materials, the smiles, the righteousness, the good works, the faithfulness, the obedience, all those things. We're sending those up to heaven in order to build our house. What's our house look like? What does our house look like that we're building? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 3:15. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved. So they made it to heaven. They weren't thrown into hell. They made it to heaven. But what do they have? What are they sleeping in a lean-to? Because all their works were sent to heaven, and they were tried, and if they were burned, there's no material there to build a house, or at least have a very small house in the kingdom of heaven. Who here wants a small house? Good, no one's raising their hands. Who wants a big house? I do. It's a sign that God took the works that we did for Him, and it was lasting for the kingdom. The story I was listening to, one of the ones that was given entrance into heaven, he said, "Well done, you will live in the city in Zion. And I know how much you like the water and the sound of the waves. So I've built your house on the water so you can hear the crashing waves." We have no idea what God has in store for us. And He cares about the little things. We are going to have homes. We are going to do things in heaven, not just sit on a cloud and strum a harp for a billion, trillion, gazillion, googleplex, whatever amount of years. And that's just a drop in the bucket. But we're going to do things. We're going to function. We're going to serve. What capacity are we going to serve? And it's to the degree that we catch His heart. Not material, not a house, but His heart and what He's designed for us to do. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, just a few verses up, it says, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation." This is the Apostle Paul speaking. "And someone else builds upon it. Let each one take care how he builds on that foundation. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Jesus Christ is our foundation. Any foundation that is ever laid that and or should be laid has to have an intent for the foundation. The World Trade Center could not be built on my foundation of my home at 52 Railroad Street. It can't do it. The foundation of the World Trade Center went down 7 stories or 70 feet into the ground to be able to support the structure on it. Therefore, the Lord innately has a design for us. He is our foundation and we are built on Him. And according to that, we don't want the house built in vain. But that foundation is what that house is going to be built upon. If we are not planted in the right place, we're not going to have fruit. If you continuously transplant a fruit tree, its roots are never going to be able to go down in order to gain the nutrients it needs to produce fruit, right? And he used this as an example for people that church skip. If you are never planted in a church, your roots will never go down, and you will never become fruitful for the kingdom because you're constantly transplanting and taking on new soil. And if you're planted in the wrong spot, you don't plant orange trees here. You plant them in the south or in the southern hemisphere or wherever. They wouldn't function and or at least well. I know someone who does plant orange trees here in New York State in a little greenhouse, and it's a very small tree and it's not very fruitful. He gets some, but it's not fruitful. And how fruitful do we want to be for His kingdom? That's ripe or temporal fruit. Wrong fruit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians 5, 19, 20, and 21. And it's a very long list here of things that we are not to produce. Very clear, but some things have a very sneaky way of entering into our lives. "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom. These can be found in believers. And if this is true, now God knows the heart. And I believe if we are living in a light that we have been giving, and sure we fail, and we repent, God sees that. He honors us and He understands that there will be times of failure, but our ultimate desire is to go on. But then there are those that abuse the gift of grace and say, well, God is gracious. He's fine. He knows I'm weak. I'm going to sin. And we never try to change. We never try to put off, or we get tired of putting off. But we're to continue to try to mortify, to kill, to put off those things. Because if we don't, we will not inherit the kingdom. And the church today in society wants to paint Jesus as a lovey-dovey God, friend, buddy-buddy, but He is just. And He will send people to hell. People that will get to heaven thinking their name is in the book of life, and they won't be. And I don't want that to be said of me. We don't need to be scared of our salvation, but we need to realize that we need to continue in our salvation. We want to produce, the third point, that eternal fruit. Galatians 5:22. The fruits of the Spirit that we know very well, we've heard, I'm not going to belabor, but love. Is God's love abiding in us? That unselfish love. That love that when someone hurts us, says something, is talking behind our back, gossips about us, is rude to us, ignores us, do we still love them? It's easy to say those things in scenarios, but then we go through them, and that's where we're tested. Do we still love them? Joy. Is our attitude based on circumstances or the outcomes? Or on the knowledge that Jesus Christ rules and reigns in the affairs of men? And with that knowledge, yes, the circumstances are still difficult. The health problem, the financial problem, the emotional family problem is still there. But our eye is on Him. In His strength. Not in the situation. And through that, yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's painful. But we can have joy knowing that God is with us. Peace. Are we up and down with the storms of life? Times are good, it's easy. Peace isn't for good times. Peace is for bad times. Who here wants to experience peace? Well, now, yes, granted, there are times of peace. Life is not all trial and torment and difficulty, and we shouldn't think that way. But we do need to realize that we're preparing for an endless time of peace with our King. But we also need to learn to rely on Him. Borrowing what we just said, that Jesus rules and reigns, God rules and reigns in the affairs of men. And we get that, but when there's a connection, and we have to always work this out and strengthen it and fortify it and put guards around it and use it. I'm getting ready to build something on my house and I haven't built in a long time. I've got to redo a lot of things and I make some mistakes. And it costs me time and money. But if I use them and continue to use them, those skills, that knowledge is there, and the same with the Lord. That peace when we're at work. I lost my job, or my child is sick, or there's a real family situation, whatever is going on. Are we living these things? Not am I in full-time ministry, not am I doing this, not am I traveling or writing or doing those huge things that we so often focus on, but it's the little things. Jesus always pointed to the little things. Not the 99, but the one is the point. Not the 10 pieces of silver, but the one is the point. It's those little things. He that is faithful in that which is least And it's those attitudes, those motives, those things that are everyday, I think, that are really what are a crucial part that we don't want to forsake of building our home. He is the Prince of Peace. Patience. I don't want to talk about this. How are we at waiting for others to get right? Jokingly and seriously. Do we have the patience of the Lord? Look in the mirror and then ask that question. And when the Holy Spirit is there, it's a very surreal recognition of who do I think I am to think I can play God and judge them and expect them to be somewhere when someone else is probably thinking the same thing of me. Wait, I'm perfect. I forgot. But we get so tired of waiting, but do we have that patience, that long-suffering, that forbearance? To be willing to suffer long and still go back to the top and love them. To be able to maintain peace in the situation where we really... Now, this is where we need to know the Lord, because all these things function in each of our lives on different levels, in different ways, in different places, in different situations. That's why we can't look at Marianne or Elizabeth or whoever and say, oh, well, they're doing it this way. No. We can get some principles, if you will, but to apply those to our life, it's a different jacket. A jacket's a jacket, but a large on me won't work. We need Jesus to be to where we are at and where He is calling us to be. Are we letting patience have its perfect work so in the end we are wanting nothing? Or are we trying to get out of it? Typically, I think we are. But I think as we go closer to the Lord, we can see how the Apostle Paul joyed in those things. I think he meant it. I think he did joy in it because he knew who God was in his life and what the ultimate purpose for that was for. Kindness. How do we treat others? Can you find one time in Scripture where Jesus was unkind to someone? The most unjust treated person in the earth, in existence. He was never unkind. Someone calls me rude on the phone, customer service person. Test my patience, test my kindness. But I start thinking, it's like, no, Jason. Might be angry and sin not is my first step. But then, no. What are they going through? Did their mother just die? Do they have a financial situation? Are they being foreclosed on? Are they declaring bankruptcy? Are they on their fifth marriage and their children are on heroin? We don't know what's going on in people's lives. But the sooner we catch that and get out of our own bubble and connect with God, Lord, what have you called me to? Things start looking different. We treat people different. We act differently because we realize the purpose is not what we're doing, but who we're doing it for. And then it reverses, yes, how we're doing it. Goodness. Are we doing good works? Are we doing that list of bad works, or are we producing good works? Children of Israel lived with the enemy in their land. And at times we live with the enemy in our land, in our hearts, that we're not getting rid of those things. But as God is calling us to defeat those enemies, we need to kick them out. We need to remove them. Goodness is the attribute of God. Exodus 33:19. It's sometimes a simple word, but it's the essence of who God is in the truest sense. Faith. Are we growing in faith? Are these fruits multiplying? Are the seeds falling off the tree or off the vines and being replanted, recultivated into other places and spreading in a multiplying effect? It was once said of Billy Graham. They were talking about some man, and Billy Graham was, and they're like, well, I don't know him. And he's like, he's the man that saved me. Imagine that man's reward? Imagine that man's reward for saving Billy Graham? How many lives he's touched? And there's that multiplier effect that as we are faithful, it's not the huge things, it's simply being faithful in the little things. That for eternity or for the rest of our lives, I should say, as we are here and as we go and as what we did stays, our fruit follows us. It continues, good or bad. I was speaking to a minister, and it's sometimes nice to talk to ministers outside of the fellowship, because sometimes if I'm only inclusive, you wonder if it's just us. But different denomination, young gentleman, he goes, you know, I really feel if someone's not going on, he didn't say they're backsliding, he goes, they're dying. It's not just us who believe that. It's those who are called to God's highest. Not Zion Fellowship, Zion Ministries International. Sometimes I think it's a misconception because our name is Zion, so we assume maybe. But we're not, unless we are. Gentleness. Are we doing things in gentleness? Ephesians 4:15 speaks about the truth and love. I can give you the truth, straight up. No anesthesia. We can do that, can't we? How receptive is it? How would you like it? How would I like it? If I received the same way I gave. Put yourself on the other side of you and see if you would want to be treated the way you're treating others. The truth and love, we have to give the truth, not watered down, not distilled, not anything weaker than what it is. Full strength, but in the way that someone can receive it. Are we being gentle? Gentleness has made thee great. Psalms 18, verse 35. It's in that gentleness are we made great, are others made great. Last fruit is self-control. Are we developing strength to be able to say yes where we should say yes and no where we should say no? Or are we still continually failing? Has it been years and years since the Lord started working on us and we're still failing in that area? Not minimizing struggles, not minimizing temptation, but are we minimizing God's grace, God's strength, God's ability and victory that He won on the cross? 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's nothing that God brings our way that we can't overcome with Him. All these things, these are eternal fruits. These are the things, some of the types of fruit, that we can send up to the Lord. Send up for Him, for His glory, because it's in these things that we influence others for the kingdom. That gentleman that influenced Billy Graham, and Billy Graham went on to be with the Lord, not being on to be with the Lord, but the inheritance that he has through his faithfulness to the Lord. What are we doing? Again, not as a check mark to tally. But is he proud of us? Are we in the right place? There was a man who he went to one of John Bevere's conferences or whatnot, and John Bevere spoke a similar message on the thought of driven by eternity, and God has a specific call for us. And that man came up and said to this one of the assistants, "Is he serious?" And he goes, "Yes, he was serious." And he goes, "I was called 30 years ago very clearly to the Philippines, but I have never been able to fulfill that call." And so the gentleman said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" And the man just stormed off. And that man went home and within a year handed off his ministry to another person in his church and went to the Philippines and is now enjoy serving what God has designed him to be. There's difficulty at times in what God has called us to be. There's difficulty in anything we do. So that's a cop-out on my part and on anybody's part. There will always be challenges. But if we do what God has called us to do, we will be fulfilled. We will be satisfied if we are doing that. And we will be influencing others for the kingdom. In Psalms, to close, in Psalms 92, verses 13 and 14. Psalm 92, 13 and 14, it says, They who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They were planted in the house of the Lord. Very simply, we need to be planted in a church. We need to be faithful in a church so our roots can go down, so it can be watered, weeded, pruned, and produce fruit as we're in that right place. It says they will flourish in the courts of God. If they're not planted in the house, very law of opposites, they're not going to flourish. But if we're in that right place, we will flourish. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. That's what we want our story to be. We look at Moses, his eyes never grew dim. He failed. He got back up and he changed. He had the opportunity when he could have walked in. He could have easily tried to go in. Now, I don't know what would have happened, but he could have not listened to God. But he stayed in his place. Israel saw his faithfulness. So many lives depend on what we do. Everyone has a choice, but we have a part. And it's God's desire. He designed us. And just unwinding that, he's designed us specifically. Uniquely, each of us, as cliche as it sounds, when we grasp that, he's designed us for a purpose. To satisfy him, and through that satisfaction of him, we are satisfied and we will flourish if we find ourselves there. It's a process. There's challenges, but there's satisfaction. And it's both here and in the life to come. And when we get to heaven, we can say, hear him say, Matthew 25:23, well done, good and faithful servant. He's given each of us gifts. Maybe it's a pulpit, maybe it's not. And the enemy will try to get us to envy a fruit that we don't want. I used to be on the mission field, and I hear people talk about the mission field, and I get that, oh, I wish I was on the mission field, then I'd be fruitful. And those times come, but then we recalibrate ourselves, Lord. And we need to continually seek him. We need to continually be diligent in asking him, am I in the right way? In 2 Peter verses 1 and 10, it says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, they will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Confirm. Lord, am I still? Is it time to move on? Israel had times to move on in their lives in different areas. Lord, am I still in the right place? Not necessarily physical location, but doing what you've called me to do. So I leave that with you. Let's be fruitful. We're each an individual tree, vine, whatever we want to be, but we're a vineyard. We're an orchard. And if we see each other being faithful, it can, not envious, but cause us and encourage us to go on. Amen? Amen.